All good.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Boldness on 3CR 8:55 AM. The Boldness is about lived experience of disability from a disability perspective. Now, this is going to be a very unique broadcast. The federal government has made a lot of announcements about cuts to the National Disability Insurance Scheme, and we have been joined by Giancarlo De Vera, who is a respected disability, racial justice and LGBTIQA plus human rights advocate. Giancarlo is CEO of Being Mental Health Consumers, the New South Wales peak body for mental health consumers and psychosocial disability. Welcome to the Boldness, Giancarlo. How are you this afternoon?
I'm well, thanks, Raf, and thank you for having me.
Look, it is so good of you to join us on such short notice because there is a lot going on. But let's start off with the really easy part of this. So what actually is Being?
Being is a state peak body here in South Wales that represents all people who use the mental health system in New South Wales. We're actually one of many organisations across Australia. We have sister organisations in every state and territory, as well as a national body that represents the voice of people who use the mental health system. Really, we come from a very long history of people who have experienced human rights abuses and who've experienced the mental health system in a way that takes away our human rights. For decades, 1993 is when Being was created. And for those who may recall, 1993 was the year that Australia's very first human rights commissioner, a guy called Brian Burdekin, released a very, very important report known as the Burdekin Report, which highlighted really important human rights abuses for those who have psychosocial disability, or those who've got complex mental health challenges, experiencing human rights abuses in institutions. You know, those old things that used to exist and arguably still exist in Australia. So we come from that very long, proud history.
Well, Giancarlo, what actually is a psychosocial disability? Is that invisible, like mental illness, for example?
Yeah, great question, Raf. Look, it absolutely is worth exploring the term. It's even within our community, we use the term consumers. And people within the community that I'm part of, they don't like the word disability as well. And so it's actually really important to kind of help understand that, because language is so important when we come to talking about our lived experience. I personally identify as someone with psychosocial disability. I have a whole range of diagnoses that are mental health in nature. So, you know, basically coming from the diagnosis of the DSM. And for me, those diagnoses don't have sway over my life. They used to help have sway in my life. And psychosocial disability refers to when those mental health conditions have sway over your life. And when those conditions disable you, in the same way that someone with a mobility issue or a mobility impairment will have issues navigating the physical world around them. It's the exact same when it comes to those with mental health challenges. So in some ways, it's not exactly the same thing as it depends on what you're comfortable with. But in short, you can identify someone as being a consumer of mental health challenges, or you can just identify as being a person, which is totally A-okay.
Yep, it certainly is. The Boldness is here to support everyone about the NDIS and what actually does happen. And quite often people do face barriers, how to integrate with the community, to do things in the community with and assistance around the house. This is just off the top of my head. Now, how does the psychosocial diagnosis, how does that actually affect people trying or connecting to the community?
Well, the thing that I want to say first, Raf, is I should probably explain a bit more what I mean by what's meant by psychosocial. The word, you know, as it kind of connotes, the word itself refers to mental health, but the social element in that word, so psychosocial, refers to the fact that there are things outside of people's mental health and challenges. And so when we think about how you connect with the community and how you stay connected with the we have a mental health system that says you need to have a diagnosis first to access a range of services, a range of supports. So that's, you know, a very, very typical experience. It's very difficult to get supports if you don't have a label. But then there are things that disable you as a fellow disabled person that has got nothing to do with your with a diagnosis. It's things like, do you have a house? Do you have a job? Do you feel isolated? Do you feel like you've got connections to culture? Whatever it is, those things are social in nature. That, and we call them one way to describe them is non-medical determinants of both mental health and disability. And so those things, they can really impact how you participate equally. And if you, and the mental health system or the health system in general isn't really well equipped to address those things. And so when we think about psychosocial, we've got to think about the fact that we need a system that addresses all those things, but and the non-medical.
Yep, and that's one of the reasons that the NDIS was actually originally brought into play, was to assist people. So in, and but the National Disability Insurance Scheme, it actually was to assist people in whatever they were going to be needed. And that means having better access to the community. Now, the rules.
Absolutely.
Yep, and now the rules appear to have dramatically changed. There was an announcement by the federal government on, I think it was the 27th of April on Monday, announcing there was going to be huge cutbacks to the National Disability Insurance Scheme. Now, that means that that's going to actually have a huge impact on people who have accessed the National Disability Insurance Scheme. What are your thoughts on that, John Carlo?
Well, I'm really worried, to be honest. When Minister Butler announced the forthcoming changes, I stayed up all night and I found it really hard to go to bed. I thought about it. I was going to sleep. I thought about it the moment I woke up. And there are people like me who, you know, need support and people who don't have access to support to be able, like, who are really worried about what Minister Butler said. The way I see it, Raf, is that within the NDIS itself, to gain access to the scheme, that's gone down dramatically for those with complex mental health challenges and those with psychosocial disability. I think it's gone down from 66% to 25% in the last 5 years. So it's becoming a lot harder for you to get support, I guess. But what keeps me up at night is the fact that things outside of the NDIS is either non-existent or they are incredibly difficult to find and access. And that's where... I find myself really concerned. In New South Wales, as an example, a lot of, and this is the experience of other states and territories, a lot of the services that existed before the NDIS were winded back as a way of getting online with the NDIS. And now it's kind of like we're going back to pre-2013 when the NDIS started, and we're kind of going back to this system where we don't have the supports in place because the fact that these things are wanted back. And so if Minister Butler wants to make these cuts and he wants to make these changes to the NDIS, can he really say that? Can he say that with good conscience, knowing that there isn't support out there to support the people that are currently being supported through the NDIS? And that's what keeps me worried.
Well, is that what would be a direct result of not funding of the adequate supports? What would actually happen then?
Well, you said it earlier. Like the NDIS is all about. Well, to paraphrase what you said earlier about the purpose of the NDIS, for me, it's just about living ordinary lives. Like, that's what people don't really understand. They think we're out there to have, you know, they think our participation in the community isn't worth funding because they don't see that as something that needs to be funded. But that's living the ordinary life. and so one of the things that Minister Butler announced that I think will have a direct consequence is the fact that he wants to take out social and community participation out of the NDIS. He wants to have that directly funded through what is called the Inclusive Communities Fund, I think it's what it's called. And he wants to put $200 million into that. Now, that's nowhere near enough for disabled people to live an ordinary life, to live have a normal social life and participate in the community. And so I think a direct impact will be how much people are going to be able to participate in the community. And as a result, people are going to be isolated, people are segregated, people are going to not be part of their community. And that goes against the whole point of the NDIS.
Well, Giancarlo, what about the possibility that people will be all driven into involuntary acute care because supports are being taken away? And that type of care is expensive.
It's very expensive. I'm really worried about that, to be honest with you, because in the case, at least in New South Wales, I can't speak for all the other states and towns, but at least in New South Wales, most of the money, most of the services are in acute crisis supports. But there's a whole spectrum of supports in the mental health system. There's things about early prevention. There are things that we need in primary and tertiary settings. Like, there's things we need to see obviously in acute settings and subacute settings. And then we also need to see things that are happening when you recover from a mental health challenge. So there's this whole spectrum of things that that need to be funded in the mental health system here in New South Wales. And what I'm worried about is that when you don't, one of the best things that helps people to prevent having a crisis is that they stay connected to their community. And when we're saying to people, and when we're creating a system that stops people from connecting with their community, we are essentially going to, I can predict, that we're going to see people not access this, the preventative services, not access the link to crisis, and that's going to just drive up more costs in accessing crisis services and acute services. And the thing I'm really worried about is that that's money that can be taken away from other supports that we need in the spectrum of supports, whether it's in recovery, in prevention. And the thing that startles me the most is that in New South Wales, we already spend 80% more, which equates to about $723 million. $723 million, that's $750 million. above what the government thinks they're going to spend in mental health. And that's mostly about crisis. So the money is already being spent on crisis. So how much more are we just going to be spending more money on crisis, and how that's going to then prevent money being spent elsewhere?
And there's also the huge human impact, because there's a big difference between involuntary care and voluntary care when a person has to go into, let's say, a hospital, for example, too. There's a huge difference, and that's got to have that would be very, very worrying, because as it stands, that with the mental health system overall, that it's actually run on a medical model. It is not run on a social model. It's about diagnosis and not actually seeing the person. And as a person with a disability, it actually is about the person to make sure that they can actually access what they need to actually access. And an involuntary patient basically is, I would describe, held as a prisoner against their will, where they can't actually go through. And when they actually go through and actually have questions to a health professional, it then becomes known as behaviours of concern or challenging thoughts, or being labelled and receiving a lot more stigma from the people that are supposed to. And the NDIS is putting people more at risk at going into this involuntary care, which they were able to not have to be part of. It's frightening. It's really shocking.
Look, it really is rife. Like, I've been involuntarily treated in my life multiple times, and I hated it. Most people, like, I've not met a person who has been involuntarily treated and said they loved it. I would pay a person $1 million if they told me that they loved it. not that I have $1 million. but you're right. Like, in New South Wales, we have the second highest rate of voluntary hospitalizations at 57.7%. And that's so shocking to me as someone who lives in New South Wales, that we have the second highest rate of involuntary hospitalization. And what makes it even more scary for me is that those who administer those who are involved in involuntary treatment, they're not legally liable for anything that happens to them under the Mental Health Act in New South Wales. And so it's like, that's really frightening. that, you know, you can receive a service, a level of care that, you know, an ambulance officer or a health professional, whoever it is that's delivering involuntary treatment, is not legally liable for whatever they do in the discharge of that involuntary treatment. And that pisses me off. that as someone who's got it, that there is no accountability, no justice. If something goes wrong, because it does go wrong. In New South Wales, for example, we've had police kill people who are experiencing mental health crises. Like, tens of people have been in New South Wales. There's no justice for that. the other thing that really frustrates me about this is that we don't even have a legal right, to access decision-making supports in New South Wales. I know you're calling on Victoria, and Victoria is one state alongside Queensland that has the right to supportive decision making, which is essentially what it sounds like. It's, you know, when someone needs help to understand how to make decisions about how they're treated in their healthcare, that they have access to that help. And we don't have that right in New South Wales. And what I also know in New South Wales is that a lot of people will just acquiesce and agree to involuntary treatment or agree to substandard care because they want to prevent involuntary. That's not decent. That's not the healthcare that I want. And that's not the.
Yep. Well, is it John Carlo Now, what is being calling for from the federal government? What should the federal government do to address this wrong by doing all these cuts back to the NDIS?
Look, the number one thing that I want from the federal government, Raf, is I want the government to be transparent about its intentions to co-design psychosocial supports outside the NDIS. Now, that's not a recommendation that consumers support that call, but the Productivity Commission actually recommended it. Late last year in October, the Productivity Commission said the National Suicide and Mental Health Prevention Agreement wasn't fit for purpose, and so they needed to actually so they needed to go back to the drawing table, and as a way of developing the next agreement, that they would actually co-design the next agreement, and that's why we want to see co-design, so we can actually tell government what supports we need, and then they can figure out how to fund it.
Well, I said thank you very much for your time, Giancarlo. Now, before we actually very quickly wind up, what's the best way for people to contact Being, the website?
Yeah, well, firstly, the first thing I want to say is that if you are someone who uses the mental health system here in New South Wales, I really encourage you to join Being as the people that represents you. Our website is www.being.au. That's BEING.org.au. And if you're not involved, if you don't live in New South Wales, there is a relevant peak body for you in your state or territory. And I encourage you to join them too. And it's completely free to join. We really want people to join the movement of people who care about mental health and psychosocial disability. And the way we do that is by getting involved with us. And one other thing, Raf, since next week I'm about to go on a 3-month roadshow of the regions here in New South Wales, across the whole state. If you are in the regions, check out our website as well, because we might be visiting a town near you, and we would love for you to meet up with us if we're visiting close by.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Giancarlo. We've been talking with Giancarlo De Vera, who is the CEO of Being Mental Health Consumers, the New South Wales peak body for mental health consumers and psychosocial disability. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Raf. Yeah.